bring about real joy and happiness, even in the midst of all of this, right? Affliction and difficulty and death and sorrow. How do you have that? Jesus begins there in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you.
You ever notice how easy it is to do challenging things in life if you have somebody as a foundation underneath you, supporting you emotionally, telling you just how much you matter, how much you care? Now that is exactly what is going on here in John chapter 15. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon gets us into the first 11 verses, the vitality of the Christian life. Here's Pastor Chris now and today's program.
But you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. The purging and washing effect of the word. Remember, he said this when he was washing their feet. He said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. But you are already clean, but not all of you. He was speaking of Judas. So Jesus begins now to describe, in contrast to that reality, what he's done for them. What has he done for them? Well, I've got a different plan for you. That's what he's saying. I've got a different plan for you. You're not going to be fruitless. You're not going to be fruitless. He looks at them disturbed over Judas and says, I want you to know first and foremost, you're already clean. What a thing to say. What a pastoral thing to say. You're already washed, which means you're forgiven. You're purified ceremonially. We looked at that in John 13. And Jesus holds up the adverb, already. Already. You've been justified is what he's saying. You're in the best standing before God. So he said this already in John 5. Anyone who hears my word, again, this morning, anyone who hears my word, this is John 5 though, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has already passed from death to life. It's already done. You've already moved out of being in the darkness and domain of death to having the principle of life implanted in your hearts through regeneration by the Spirit. It's done. That's the ability to hear the word, cleansed and washed. And now I want you to know something, says Jesus. Do you know it's the Father's work to grow you and to prune you? It's the Father's commitment to grow you and to prune you who are attached to me. This is really beautiful language here. And that's the point. When you are regenerated, life is given to you, and a branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself. You cannot bear fruit, and here it comes, unless you abide in me, says Jesus. Now, keep in mind, when I read this passage, he says other things that are very important here. You did not choose me. I want you to know that. Let's make that really clear. You did not make the sovereign choice in your life to choose me. I chose you, as he says, and I appointed you. Notice what he says. I appointed you that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. You're chosen and you're appointed to bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So keep that all in front of you. He just said, it's absolutely true that my sheep will bear fruit and that my sheep are appointed to bear fruit because I chose them. That's powerful stuff. That is powerful stuff he's saying. Fruit bearing is that result of an ability to hear the word of God, and which is based on his gracious washing and regenerating of our hearts, so that by implanting life there, taking a dead heart and making it alive, you now become a branch connected to the vine where life is flowing from him to you, and you are bearing fruit. That's what he's saying. Now, the whole point of this is to say, are you concerned about Judas? Listen. There is that reality in the kingdom, and it's distressing. We call everyone to repentance and faith. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you here. You need to know, and what your concern is how dependent you are upon me for everything. That's what he's saying to them. I have to enable, I have to hold you, I have to keep you, I have to strengthen you, I have to pour my life into you. Or that's what would happen to everyone. See, this is moving, and Jesus is speaking this way. So now with the parameters set that way, Jesus is teaching his disciples the responsibility of the Christian life to learn then how to depend upon the true vine for help. Now, this is what's really important for us. To learn how to depend on that vine, the one who gives life, the one whom we're attached to by union with Jesus. How that life, how we are to go forward and now learn to find strength and dependence upon him so that we actually are not fruitless but fruitful Christians, you see. So what does he do at this point? He gives them a serious call to do what? Abide in him. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. I don't think we realize every day when we get up, when we go do our tasks, how much he's upholding us. You could do absolutely nothing without him. And that means that every bit of strength you have to do any good work is him with his life filling you. Now, it's a beautiful statement that even though he's absent, he's saying life still flows. And we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit to come that makes that so. But Jesus is commanding them to this responsibility in the Christian life, to tend and cultivate the life that is theirs because they're washed. Abide with me. You know what that means? It means to stay with me, remain with me. Stay with me, says Jesus. He had already said this in John 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. Keep on believing, which presupposes that it's difficult in this Christian life, and it presupposes that when we depart and we're doing things in our own independence, no wonder we find ourselves falling into sin. No wonder we find ourselves doing the things that we don't want to do. Jesus is saying the only way forward is in him, in his life. And this is important. There are real pressures to go backwards. There are many things trying to pull us away from Jesus every day. There are many ideas that are coming at us. You've got three enemies you battle, you know, and they're not little enemies. We just read it, and I prayed about it in the prayer. You've got the world coming at you in every way. Don't we believe that now? You've got the devil coming at you in every way he can. And you got this problem in yourself that you're your own worst enemy. Those are three formidable foes that are coming at you all day long. And you see what Jesus is saying here. You have a tendency to go real backwards when you listen to these foes. And Jesus is calling his followers to the crucial responsibility to find their strength and to find their help in him. That's what he's doing, especially in times when you're tested with severe hardship and trial. You know, you could have something tomorrow that devastates life. I've seen it with people who once had strong convictions on something, and all of a sudden, because of a life circumstance, they've thrown it all out the door. Stay with me, says Jesus. Remain with me. Think of all the stuff happening right now. Think of how many people are pulled this way and that way with everything happening. What is everyone looking for? Meaning? Life? A kingdom? Strength? A savior? Really? Everyone's looking for a savior. Everyone's looking for an answer. Everyone's looking to find meaning to all of this. Everyone's looking to find a place where we could actually give our energies and life to a cause that is successful. Well, here we are. To a cause that matters. It's a call here from Jesus to a life of dependency on him. We try constantly to live this life on our own. Look at this morning. I was preaching that passage thinking 2 Timothy 2. Preach the word in season, out of season, that he gives this church and gives us a place to be ministered to the word. And there's actual power in life that flows from that. You say, well, I don't know. Where do I see that? Tell me, answer me this question. The people who stay away from the church, the people who are away from the church, tell me how fruitful they are in the kingdom. Not much, if at all. The people connected to the vine, The people receiving that word are the most fruitful of people. We can prove that. We can prove that. It's nothing to debate. That's evidence to us. I love what's said here. You know, this is crucial to the understanding of the Christian life, the vitality of the Christian life. You're already clean. You're already justified. But here's the way forward. Abide. Abide in my word. Remember, he'll use this interchangeably with abide in me, abide in my word. That's the whole key to this section, if you will. I believe it's understood by something that Jesus says after this, that you get it even further. Verse 7, look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See how the word penetrates and then it fills the heart, and the word has the effect of abiding in us as we receive it. That's our connection to the vine, and that's how we're abiding in him. So notice that connection. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What a statement. Desire. Well, we talked about passions this morning. What do people do today with their own passions? Whatever they want. What does the Christian desire? God's changed your desires. Your desire now is to love him. Your desire now is to do what's right in your life. Your desire is to honor the commandments of God. Your desire is to lead holy lives. Your desire is to be sanctified in sanctification. Your desire is to love one another. These are all redeemed desires that have filled your life. But performing them are difficult. Performing them are difficult. So see what Jesus is saying here. See what he's saying here. He's saying so wonderfully that abiding in me through word and prayer, when you come to me and that word is dwelling within you and you're abiding in me and I in you in that word, and you come to me and ask that these holy desires that have been changed now, not from the passions that you once lived in, doing whatever you wanted to do, but now the desires that have been changed, I'm going to give that and you're going to have strength to do it. See how important. Talking about the word of God and prayer is not just super pious things that don't mean anything. They're vital. They're important for us. They're avenues for us. So what will the Lord do for you? Lord, I'm really struggling with sin in my life. I'm really struggling with this, and I really don't want to do these things, and I want to have a life that's more focused on you and more devoted to you and loving my neighbor and serving my neighbor, not thinking of myself. Guess what the Father is going to do? He's going to prune you. He's going to prune you. The word pruning is not an easy process, by the way. You leave a tree alone. I'm not much of a gardener, but I know this. If you leave a tree alone and hope that it has a lot of fruit on it, it's not going to turn out that well. You cut the thing way back, and you know that next year, it's going to be, if you do it right, it's going to, see, you guys are all laughing because the guys don't know how to do this, but if you do it right, there's going to be real fruit on that thing. The word means here making clean by removing the bad parts. A lot of bad parts in us still. Father's going to come and prune. Father's going to come and work. You want to ask the Lord to do this. The Forest Service says about pruning. Pruning for health involves removing diseased or insect-infested wood, thinning the crown to increase airflow and reduce some pest problems, and removing crossing and rubbing branches. Pruning can be best used to encourage trees to develop a strong structure and reduce the likelihood of damage during severe weather. Removing broken or damaged limbs encourages wound closure. Huh. Pruning, then, is removing sin in your life. It's chipping away at it so that you're able to grow properly. It encourages wound closure so that you're able to love and forgive your neighbor and serve them. Meaning it enables you to forgive, enables you to love, enables you to do the things of the kingdom that are everything contrary to this world. The Lord hears this and he makes a promise that when you come to him and recognize that I can't do anything without you, O Lord, that's what prayer is. Prayer is an act of total dependency upon him. Letting his word dwell in you is an act of dependency upon him. As it fills your hearts and fills your minds, and as you fill your minds and hearts with prayer, he prunes you and makes you more fruitful. That's what he's saying I'm going to do for you. That's the access you have. Because it's now the longing of it. Do you think Judas cared anything about that? Nope. In and out. Gone. Didn't matter a thing. This is why Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits that they bear. If there's no desire for the things of Christ and no fruit, they're not of Christ. I love verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Notice how this is such rooted in tender love language in the right way to simply encourage and help his struggling sheep. Listen to this beautiful language, beloved. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. You want to abide in my love? Says Jesus. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have truly spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Does anyone trust the love of God when they're living in sin? Well, they could falsely say that. The reality is when you go sin, your own conscience rises up against you, and the first thing it says is, how could God love you? You know that. But when you're doing what's right in this life, and you're honoring the path he has for you, and you love his commandments, did you notice what he says? There's a way there, an encouragement to abide in his love. Jesus looks at them and assures them that the Father has loved them and that he loves them. And here's your way forward. Jesus says that the fruit of that will be a will and desire to love his commands. His commands are not burdensome, he says. This is what we call third use of the law. This is what we call a way of gratitude and living. Jesus is saying the fruit of remaining in his love is to have the desire of your hearts fulfilled in doing his commandments. What does that look like? Well, isn't it not surprising then that Jesus goes to the summary of all commandments? What's the summary principle of all the commandments? Love. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Be about my Father's business. That's what I want you to do. I've loved you. I've died for you. I've washed you. I've cleansed you. You're not under condemnation. You're my children. Here's what I want you to do in going forward. Be about my Father's commandments. I don't want you idle. I know everything's falling apart all around us right now. I don't want you idle. So what do we do in these moments? Hunker down. Panic. We could complain. We can get bitter. We can fall into misery. We can do everything and become simply idle Christians, fruitless Christians. And that is not what he's called us to. See what he's saying here? It says the best way to be active in service, the best way to do and to go forward as my sheep is to look a lot like me. What did I do? I came here to lay down my life. Greater love has no one than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friend. That's what I've done for you, says Jesus. I've loved you. I've laid down my life for you. Now I want you to think about how to love one another in a world that's dog eat dog right now. In a world that slanders and trashes everyone, in a world that hates their neighbor, what a fulfilling calling. You see? What a happy calling. Your rights have been taken from you a long time ago. Did you know that? Let that set in for a minute. Your rights have been taken from you a long time ago because you were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. For what? That we would show the world what sacrificial love looks like now in the way that we love one another. Didn't Jesus say, now this is how all men will know you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. You know what's weird, beloved, is now when I say these things, I feel like it's considered by our culture, even American Christians, as weak to say these things now. It's not weak. There is nothing that looks more like Jesus than when we love sacrificially this way. And this is what he's saying. You look like me this way. It's a fulfilled life this way. You're my children. Be my children. That's what he's saying. The fruitless will be carried away. But blessed are those who hear and bear much fruit. Jesus is encouraging us tonight that theirs is the kingdom. And I think what a meaningful passage for sanctification and for purpose in life. We're going to come back to this next time and continue it and see how Jesus continues to address these things. But go in this love, go in this confidence. You're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So abide in that word. Let that word abide in you. Come to me in prayer. Ask that those desires that are now changed would be fulfilled. Abide in my love by honoring my will and the commandments. That's what you're to be busy with in serving and loving one another. That's what you're called to in these times where everyone's worried about action. That's what I want you to be as my people. I think this is a wonderfully encouraging passage tonight that Jesus uses pastorally to encourage his sheep in dangerous times and in hard seasons. And I pray that it encourages you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us such a marvelous truth of how we are to be as your people. And thank you for, Lord, setting us apart. May we not be fruitless. May there be no Judases among us. May there be only people who hear the word, believe the word, and bear much fruit in their lives for the glory of God, abiding in that word and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever unholy desires are within us, O Lord, would you take those away, for we now hate them, and replace them with holy desire, good motives, good things that are in conformity to your law and your commandments. And let us be a people who are thankful. Thank you, O Lord, for giving us your word today and for guiding us in its light. In Jesus' name we pray.
You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, I'd remind you that you can contact us at agradio.org. Also find other platforms there as well. Nice little jump offs to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, available at agradio.org. You'll be able to tap into previous programs as well as find out where AG Radio is playing in your neck of the woods. Again, agradio.org. Or if you wish, use the phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. By the way, if you find the broadcast helpful, encouraging you in the Lord, maybe there's something that Pastor Chris has said today that really stuck in your mind, something that, like most of us, you'll actually use with somebody else in a day or two. We would love to hear from you. If you feel that this program is helpful to you, we would ask you to redirect some of your financial resources to fund Abounding Grace, as this is a listener-supported ministry, which means we're on this specific radio station simply because you've come alongside of us financially and, even more importantly, prayerfully, to make sure that this radio program continues right here on this station at this time. So consider that as you get a hold of us, again at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And bear in mind that any financial resource you send our way is tax deductible. Well, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again as we look forward to tomorrow's broadcast.
How do you bring about real joy and happiness even in the midst of all of this, right? Affliction and difficulty and death and sorrow. How do you have that? Jesus begins there in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So he looks at them and he says, I love you. Now that's just not anyone saying that. I could carelessly say to my wife, I love you, and she might not believe me that day, right? Because I've been stupid or I've done something bad. This is God saying that. I love you. Let that set in for a minute. Let you understand that. And then he goes on to say, greater love has no one than this. I'm going to go die for you. I mean, that's about as wonderful as it can be in the Gospels, isn't it? I love you. And to prove it, I'm going to go die for you. I'm going to willingly lay down my life for you. My concern then is for you in this. I'm concerned, says Jesus. I want you to abide. I want you to remain. I want you to stay in my love for you.
That is tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.